Well, good morning, everyone. I know we're getting kind of getting a little bit of a late start here, but just be patient with us here. We're getting started. We had some trying to make everything work better for everybody so you can hear better and work some of the bugs out. And, you know, by the time we get done with all this, we'll know what to do. You know, isn't that the way it is? And but I'm glad everybody came. I'm excited. Does everybody know what today is? Pentecost Sunday. Isn't that awesome today? Amen. Woo! I'm excited today. The Lord's really put a message on my heart to share with you today, and I'm just excited to be here. I've been thinking about this all week, and man, I've just been really pumped, and the devil's been trying to get me down this week. I had some AFib issues this week that I haven't had in a long while. I've been really doing well, and man, I just... I was all day one day in AFib, and then I got some medication to try to help me correct that, and then I got an allergic reaction to that, and then I had to take Benadryl and some other, you know, to try to fix that. So I went through about 3 days of just feeling horrible, but you know, I feel awesome today. I feel awesome today, and I know that God's going to bless this day today, and we're going to just praise and worship Him. Sorry about that. The wind's blowing it really bad, so I'm trying to fix it. All right. I would say that was my heart, but Leanne says I don't have one. Are you going to do announcement first? That right? Right? That's a joke. Really. Okay, all right. All right. I think Mark's going to come and do the announcements. I don't know what's in the announcements today. I know that I was in contact with a couple of friends of mine, and I don't know, did Verna put that in the bulletin? Next Thursday, Trent Ice is going to share with us on Zoom. So it's Trent. If you known Trent back years ago when his dad was a pastor here at the Ananias Church, and so he grew up in this community, and he pastors a church in Salem, Salem Grace, and they're running about 500 right now. So he's got a big job going on with this COVID stuff, and he's going to join in on Zoom next Thursday evening and share a devotion with us, or just he's going to talk to us about whatever God's got on his heart. And so I'm encouraged, I'm excited to hear what he has to say. He and I always have great conversations about this community and his heart. He just really has a heart for this community, and so he's excited about being here. And then the following Wednesday, I've got a good friend of mine by the name of David Springmeyer. And David is just a powerful young man. He's got a great testimony about his life, and he's actually in school for ministry. He's pastoring, associate pastor at the Church of the Nazarene in Fairfield. And so I'm encouraged to hear him speak, and all you young people need to listen to him. So I encourage you guys to join in and listen to this young man's testimony. It's just really powerful what he's been through in his life and how God has just completely transformed his life. So I'm going to let Mark do the rest here.
I'm scared as you when it's finished.
Sorry, Mark.
No, you're all right. All right, well, good morning, everybody.
Can you hear me?
Is that better? Okay.
All right.
A couple of happy birthdays. Hunter, he just had a birthday a couple days ago.
Woo! Happy birthday!
And then also, it's like we have a happy birthday for, all right, hey, there it is. Happy birthday to a David Johnson out at the Veterans Home. He'll be celebrating his 101st birthday today. That is awesome. We are doing another grocery giveaway. We're going to start doing that once a month. It's going to be, was that the 27th?
Yeah, Friday.
Friday the 27th, there's a thing in the program that shows you what we're collecting for each bag of groceries. trees and things like that. So please help participate in that. What's
that? Sorry, Mark. It's a 26. It's 26.
It was
a 27.
My producer's giving me bad information in my ear here. All right. Like he said, Trent is going to be doing a Zoom meeting on Thursday, June 4th. So that'll be awesome to be able to take part in it. Prayer meetings on Saturday night, so join us for that. That's about it, buddy.
All right. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Turn this over to somebody else who was going to use this.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Well, it's good to see everyone here this morning, so we're just going to worship the Lord this morning. Amen. Everybody hear us okay this morning?
For the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light. Who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. Each soul be rekindled with fire from above.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again.
Hallelujah, thine the glory,
hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again.
Amen. Hallelujah this morning. Amen.
You are not a God,
God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're the only God whose power none can contain. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne.
You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, You are on Your throne. You are God alone. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what You are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what You are. You are God alone. From before time began, You are on Your throne. You are God alone.
And
right now, in the good times and bad, You are on Your throne. You are God alone.
Unchangeable,
unshakable, unstoppable. That's what You are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what You are.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to You this morning, Lord, and we thank You. Lord, we thank You for Your holy presence here, Lord. I feel it already. Lord, I know You've been preparing us for this day all week, Lord. And I've been seeking You. I've been communing with You, Lord, and I know that You've got something special today for us. I know that Your Holy Spirit is going to move on this place this morning, Lord. Lord, change lives, Lord. Whenever Your Holy Spirit shows up, people's lives are changed. People's lives are encouraged. They're revived. And so, Lord, on this day of Pentecost, Lord, we're reminded of that great day. Lord, and so today we just ask for a new Pentecost. We just ask for that day of the outpouring of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon Your church. Lord, we need You, Lord, to enable us in every way. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The girls are going to sing a song this morning.
Will you guys stand and praise with us today?
If you can. Yeah, those are fine.
Are you sure?
Yep.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come
flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that can ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Man, that's good, wasn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's so good. Man, I'm just moved by that. Well, today is the day of Pentecost, and I mean, this is an exciting day for the church. There's a wind right there. I don't know what I'm gonna do here. I could turn my back. That's weird. But I'm gonna try to do this here. Hopefully the wind won't give us too much trouble. I know that it probably sounds terrible on the radios out there. So, but let's read in Acts chapter 2. We're going to read a little bit this morning about, you know, people across the world are crying out for revival. I believe that. I believe we're crying out in our churches all around the world. We're singing songs, just like the girls just sang. But it's time, I think, right now. It's time for an outpouring, a moving of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's time to stop talking about it and to stop talking about how it used to be and start saying how it is now. And I think we can have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like on the day of Pentecost, and maybe not in the same way that it happened to that 120 in the upper room. There was 120 approximately men and women filled that day in the upper room, and I'm thinking that we might have that a personal Pentecost in our lives today. And that's what I'm praying for right now, that each of you this morning has a personal Pentecost in your life right now, today, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your lives. And the cry we hear rising from within the churches is a cry for revival. And I hear this from pastors all over. I hear this from people all over. They are hungry for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we are crying for revival. And I know we sing songs like "Revive Us, O Lord," like we just sang, and "The Light of Fire Down in My Soul." We sing that song, and "Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here." We sing that song as the girls just did, and others, which represent the heart's cry for this revival, this renewing in our life. And how many of you this morning? How many of you want to see not only a revival in our nation today, but a personal revival in your lives and a personal revival in our churches? Amen? How many of you today are ready for that? Amen?
Amen. That's right.
And I'm going to read here in the second chapter of Acts, starting out, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just deliver through me. Use me this morning, Lord. Speak through me. Enable me this morning to speak your word, Lord. Be in control today. Remove anything that may hinder your word from being spoken. Lord, let this wind be stilled so that they may hear clearly your word. Lord, I praise you. I thank you in Jesus' name. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Man, what an experience, huh? Can you imagine being there, right there, experiencing that like the apostles did, like the disciples did? And, in 2 Chronicles, or in Chronicles 7, chapter 7, verse 14, it says this: "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." I love that. I love that scripture right there. And it goes along with what I'm talking about this morning, this experience that the disciples had in the upper room. And, one key to revival is found in this verse. And the word revival comes from the Latin word re, which means again, and vivo, which means to live. Revival literally means to live again. And I love that. And where do we find revival? Well, it may not necessarily be in great preaching. It's not that. Or people being converted, or huge crowds of Christian people gathered together. Revival is found in people who love the Lord Jesus Christ in a deep and powerful way. That's where it comes from. It wasn't that, Jesus preached to thousands of people. But on the day of Pentecost, there was just 120 in the room. He had appeared, even after his resurrection, to more than 500 people from the time of his resurrection to the time of his ascension. And then just a week later, here on the day of Pentecost, there were still only 120 in the room. And I think about that. So it's not about the large crowds. It's not about all that. It's about the ones that are dedicated, the ones that are humbling themselves to seek the Lord. Amen. Those are the ones that see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the revival in their lives. One of the great books written on revival was a writer by the name of Charles Finney. Has anybody heard of Charles Finney? He had some great stuff. He's got some great stuff. Of course, it's been long gone, but
He in some of his lecture notes on revival, Finney describes revival as a new beginning of obedience to God. A new beginning of obedience to God. It's not about what you did yesterday. See, that's what he's saying. It's not even really about what you did 15 minutes ago. It's about what you do right now, today. It's about what you choose to do from this day on and say, I'm going to dedicate myself to the Lord. I'm going to dedicate myself. I'm going to be more obedient to Him in my walk with Christ. And that's when revival comes. You know, this is what our nation needs. This is what our church needs. A new beginning of obedience to God. That is what I hope will happen today in your hearts and in your lives. A new beginning of obedience. Amen? That's what I hope happens today. And again, the key is found in this passage in 2 Chronicles that I just read. It is a promise from God that if the church, His people, will do their part, then God will fulfill a promise He also makes in this verse. I want to break it down this morning, and I've got three things I want to talk about this morning. Maybe four, I don't know, five. I don't know how long we want to be here this morning, but it just depends on what the Holy Spirit does, right? Amen. And the first thing I want to talk about is if my people who are called by my name, if it says revival begins with the people of God, it is when you and I, who have been bought by Jesus Christ and have accepted and made Him our Lord and Savior, begin to believe the answer to the lost and dying world. You know, that's within our grasp. That's within our grasp. This community is within our grasp. It's right here. We can preach the gospel to this lost and dying world. This is a tremendous responsibility, though, for the church. But God has given to the church the power through the Holy Spirit to accomplish what He has set before us. And I want you to understand this, that when God asks His church, are you to do something, He will always give you the ability to do it. He just awaits for us to have the courage to go and do it. That's all He wants us to do. He wants us to be obedient just to go and do it. And in Acts 14, we talked about this last night in our Bible study. Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas went on this great mission trip. They went to Iconium and they went to different areas, but in Iconium, where they spoke to the Jews and the Greeks at that time, the synagogues, and where they spoke to these people, and it says their words they spoke were effective. Why were they effective? And a great number of people believed. It says this because the Lord enabled them and confirmed the message that they spoke. That's how it was effective. See, the power of the Holy Spirit made it effective. The Lord made it effective. And we can't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We can't be effective as a church. You can't be effective as a disciple. Come on now. You can't be effective. You'll be an up and down roller coaster Christian without the power of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. Amen. How do we move in the ability to accomplish His purpose? We need to pray that the eyes of our understanding be open so we can see what God wants to do through us, and that our ears will be open to hear the voice of God calling and encouraging us to press on. I can imagine what we could do for the kingdom if each one of us responded with knowledge and understanding and obedience to the call that God has on each and every one of us. Because God has a call on each and every one of your lives. Every one of you, God calls on you to do things for Him. And we just have to be obedient. And He will enable you through the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish it. Don't ever think that you're not good enough. Don't ever think that you're not educated enough. Don't ever think that you're not strong enough to do it, because the power of the Holy Spirit enables you to do it and accomplish what God wants you to do. Always remember that. The second thing I want to talk about is if my people will humble themselves. If my people will humble themselves. I want to go back and say one thing. With this knowledge and understanding and obedience to the call, that's what it takes for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what it takes. The second part here I want to talk about is if my people will humble themselves. Humility. Boy, that's a tough one, right? We have a tough time being humble sometimes. Especially, I mean, we do. But humility, God's people must be, you know, we talk about being broken. We talk about that, and we must be broken. We must be modest and humble. We are not to be proud and arrogant. And in James 4:6 states, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do you want God's grace upon your life? Is that what you want today? You want God's grace upon your life, then live this life of humility without arrogance. You know, tragically, though, I got to say this. Tragically, I've seen people who have become spiritually arrogant, self-centered, religious, because they have walked into a deeper communion with God than some of the other people, and they walk and talk with spiritual arrogance. And I want to remind you to be careful of that as well, because we can tend to do that. We can say we know more, or we've experienced more. And it's not about that. It's not about that. So be careful with that. Be careful about becoming distant when we can act superior towards others. When God's people are humble, He is drawn to them. When pride is present, God resists them. Remember that. When we are humble, people are drawn to that humility that we produce. And that's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. How can you do this? I ask this. How can you do this? When is the last time you went before God and on bended knee instead of just singing out about coming to Him on them? We need to kneel before the King to humble ourselves on bended knee, and we need to pray for God's compassion upon the lost and to ask God to forgive us for our lack of concern for the world, which we desperately need. This world that desperately needs Jesus. There's so many times we walk by people every day in our lives that are dying and going to hell because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it seems that we've got our own life, our own things, our own agenda, and we just walk right by them without giving any concern at all about what's going on in their life and where their heart is. And I'm saying right now, from this day forth, this day on, I'm asking you, I'm calling upon the church, be concerned about the lost in this community. Be concerned about the ones that are not here this morning. Be concerned about those who need Jesus in their life. Amen. Can you do that with me? Are you with me this morning? Number three, the third point I have is, if my people will pray. Prayer sounds so easy, doesn't it? It sounds so easy, but it's one thing I think we neglect the most. I think we neglect it. We say our personal prayers. We'll say, you know, and I believe, I know some that are in commune with God every day. I know that. But I think we neglect it as a church. Prayer, you know, I pray every day, but words sometimes are cheap and action is costly because it takes time away from our agenda, our day, our things that we want to get done. But to pray for our children, we need to. We need to be praying for our children in this world. We need to be praying for our schools and our homes and our government leaders and our cities and our churches for the world. We need to be in prayer every day, asking God to intercede and enable us, to give us knowledge and understanding of what to do and how to do it. We need to pray for this new Pentecost, a new fresh overflowing of the Holy Spirit on our world today, on our lives, on our church. Our prayers should be full of faith, mixed with compassion. You know, man cannot bring revival through prayer by his own technique. It only comes when man looks to God's ability. You hear me? It's not always about how well we can pray or how well we can speak. It's about what comes out of our heart. When we are looking at God and saying, Lord, this can only happen if you let it happen. Use me to let this happen. Amen. It's not by my might. That's what Zechariah wrote in chapter 4, in verse 6. He said, it's not by my might, nor by my power, but by my Spirit. It's by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit that it makes it happen. Amen. In Acts, we discover the first sermon preached, and we saw 3,000 people saved. That was a message preached by an uneducated fisherman. Why? Why was he able to do that? Because of the day of Pentecost. Because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his life. Because we know before that uneducated fisherman denied Christ 3 times. He ran and hid in the bushes. He was always messing up. He didn't understand anything. But after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit filled his life, then he knew. He knew what he could do. God enabled him through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to preach. And his message was effective because of the Holy Spirit's power speaking through him. That's why 3,000 people were saved that day. Amen. And it's so sad. It's so sad to think about what happens in our churches today when we're lucky to see 10 people in a year get saved. Why is that? I'm being honest here this morning. I'm being honest this morning. It only comes when a man looks to God. It only comes. The Church of the Nazarene has grown to approximately 2,616,241, give or take one or two. That was in 2019. How did that ever happen? It wasn't because man did it. It's because God did it. You know, our nation desperately needs help. This community desperately needs help. Spiritual help. Moral help in areas of not only employment. There's so many things that our community needs help with. And I believe that God is willing to use each and every one of us. I know that God can do things. He can open doors to opportunity, and I know He'll do it through the obedience of His church if we'll just humble ourselves before Him. We need to pray with renewed fervor for our city, for our children, for our marriages in this community that are in trouble, and we need to pray for the schools, for the churches in this community. We need to pray and ask God to send this new revival, this new day of Pentecost upon this land. I'm going to repeat that over and over again. I do have a fourth thing. Sorry. I got to throw it in there. I'm going to keep going. If my people will seek my face. Have you ever thought to seek the face of God? Seeking His face involves determination, discipline, and perseverance. We don't like that word discipline very much, but that's what it takes. We have to live a disciplined life. Things that we want to do, things that are acceptable in this world, we have to discipline our lives to know that that's not right for us. We have to pray. We have to seek His face. We have to persevere. It's not the kind of praying that is done when we say grace at the dinner table. It involves focusing our very being on speaking to and hearing from the living God. We have to hear His voice, and it's a still voice, He says. But we have to get quiet and humble ourselves and listen for that small, still, quiet voice. And God is speaking to each and every one of us. He's speaking to each and every one of you this morning, if you'll just take the time and listen. We must seek God's face for our church with a greater determination than ever. Because I see this world falling apart. I see times coming that's going to be different for the church than ever before, and we're seeing it right now. We're doing things different than we've ever had before in our lifetime. How can we do it? First, we need to ask God to help us become more disciplined, faithful, and determined to be a praying church, a praying person. We need to begin to have this purpose in our heart to pray more than ever before, than ever that we have in the past, and to be one who prays more and more and more on a consistent basis. I've got another one. If my people will turn from their wicked ways. That's a tough one, isn't it? God hates sin. God is a holy God, and we must continually repent and turn from our wicked ways. That's a daily battle. When David had sin in his life, he felt alone and away from God. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like you were alone and away from God? David felt like that too. When Israel refused to deal with their sin, they lost their battles. Weakness can come to us when we do not deal with the sin and rebellion in our lives. We have to remember that. That's not just history. That's just the same today as it was then. God is still God. He's still on the throne. He still lives today as He did. When we look at our lives, we can ask God to give us a new hunger to know Jesus in a deeper way. And we need to specifically ask God to change our lives. And we must be completely willing to obey it in all areas of our lives. Our repentance must be without restraint. And David prayed in Psalms 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart." Create in me a clean heart. David is saying, "Sanctify me. Give me a clean heart. Sanctify me." And only God can do that. We can't clean our heart. We can't clean ourselves up. We can't forgive ourselves for our sins. Only Jesus can do that. Only God can do that. So I'm like David this morning. Give me a clean heart. Give me a clean heart. Sanctify me right now. And I know sometimes we've felt that power of the Holy Spirit in our lives at one time, but sometimes we get spiritually drained because of things going on in this life, and we have to have a revival. Revive us again. We have to have this renewing, this new experience with the Holy Spirit to give us new strength, enabling us to do the work that God has put into our lives. Examine your hearts this morning. We must be determined to keep worldly distractions out of our lives. We must keep focused on our relationship with God. And Paul said in Philippians 3:13, this one thing I do. Paul also said, I die daily. What he was referring to is I have to do this every day to keep focused. I have to seek the Lord every day to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. Again, I say we must examine our hearts and our lives, and we know that there's areas of rebellion in our lives. There's things that we know that we have. Sinful ways, sinful thinking, feelings, and behaviors that we need to repent from. That doesn't make you any different than any other person sitting right here this morning. We all have to repent. We all have to confess our sins to one another. That's why it says that in the Scripture. That's how we make it to the end. That's how we persevere to the end, because we deal with stuff in our lives and we're human. We live in a sinful world, and we have to commune with each other, and we have to deal with it. Get it out of our lives. How do we do that with each other? With trust and love and compassion and humility and not arrogance and judgment. Listen to me this morning, church. Examine your hearts. And thank Jesus. I thank Him this morning. Thank Jesus for His forgiveness, which He offers freely to you because of the sacrifice He made on Calvary for you and for me. Amen. Thank Him every day for that, because without Him, we wouldn't be able to stand before God at the end and say that we wouldn't be able to and be clean. God will see us because of what Jesus did as acceptable sacrifice. Church, revival is when Christians get their relationships right with God, and when revived Christians pray, a nation can be changed. The Creator God, He moves in a supernatural way. And I don't know if you realize this, but God wants, He wants a day of Pentecost again. He wants that in our lives. He wants that in our church. He wants a revival more than we do. He has laid out a blueprint for what it will take for us to get there. And He awaits for the response of His people. God will do it again. He will do it in your lives. He will sanctify your heart if we will just humble ourselves and pray to Him. And I want to close this morning. I want to close with a call to prayer. I want to ask you to take a few moments right now to pray for God to give us a fresh revival this morning. A fresh Pentecost in our hearts and in our homes and in our church and in our schools and in our nation. Can we do that this morning? Can we pray and just with a sincere heart open up your hearts this morning and say, Lord, heal our nation, heal our schools, heal our churches. Send revival to us, Lord. Amen. Send revival to us. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to You this morning, Lord. Lord, we just pray for a revival like we've never seen before. Lord, I pray for a fresh awakening of the church. I pray for Your Holy Spirit to be poured out on each person here this morning, Lord. Let Your words not fall on deaf ears. Lord, let us take Your blueprint that You've given us, the Scripture that You've laid out for us so perfectly. You've not given us everything, but You've given us what we need. Lord, and I know that if we can persevere, we will endure to the end, Lord, that I know that You will call us into heaven as a good and faithful servant, Lord, but we cannot do that without the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, right now, Lord, enable us this morning. Cleanse our hearts this morning. Fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Revive us again, Lord. Revive us again.